Hello and welcome to the American Horror Story Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for American Horror Story Cult Season 7. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
Does it feel good to be back?
You
haven't really been away. You young poped it.
Does it feel good to be back with American Horror Story?
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings.
Yeah? I did not know what, because I've, you know, as I'm wont to do, I didn't do much beyond watch all the trailers the night that the show premiered.
Right.
And I heard that it was like, you know, subtitled cult, and I was super excited because, you know, as people may or may not know, I grew up in a religious cult.
Yes.
Go to baldmove.com/about and listen to a bunch of podcasts about it if you want. And I was like all geared up, but I don't feel like any of my cult experience is going to be useful here.
No.
This is much more like a Manson family cult, if it's anything.
Right. The lead up to this year's premiere was a lot quieter. The hype was quieter this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they still made 20 different sort of promo teasers like they do for every season. But
and one
I mean,
of
last
those...
year, they really got people into it with the Roanoke thing.
I wonder
if Ryan Murphy thought that was a failure, so he didn't do it again for this season.
I don't know. I'm glad that, you know, I didn't like that format, and I really didn't like that we got robbed out of a season worth of American Horror Story credit sequence,
That's true.
Came roaring back this year.
You got your credits.
Huh?
You got your credits.
I got my credits. One of those trailers, because they've all been kind of creepy and weird, but the one where the woman rubs her head over a brain that's actually a honeycomb that has bees crawling out of it, got like a physical, like, reaction out of me. So that's cool. Now, the other thing is interesting is I remember when we first found out that this is coming back in early September, we're like, wow, that's crazy. It usually comes out in October, like, you know, for Halloween, etc.
Right.
And we're
have the awkward split between Christmas.
And it's like, oh, maybe they're trying to avoid that, or maybe Murphy's got something else. I now think that the only reason clowns are in this show is to have a sick commercial tie-in with It, the movie, and to a lesser extent, Bubbles the Clown.
Baskets.
See, I don't even get that's how the shitty advertising didn't even work on me.
I don't know. I guess what you're saying is that Ryan Murphy took a basket of, you know, topical issues and threw it against the wall and see what stuck.
And then he whored himself out
bees,
to Stephen King to pay for it.
Trump, the election, clowns.
Yeah, what's that
thing?
Yeah,
we can make all that work.
What's that fake internet phobia that everyone goes, trypophobia, yeah, where they all freak out about the holes? Yeah, no, I think that Ryan Murphy probably has a lot to say about the election. I think then I don't know where these bees are going to come in. I don't know where the cult is going to come in. And then I feel like someone backed up a entire dump truck full of money and dumped on his driveway, and then he's decided, you know what, Twisty was a crowd pleaser, let's throw him in there.
Yeah.
And do the tie-in with It. Here's the thing, I thought Twisty was good. I don't know, is Twisty scary? Because I think Twisty's more awesome in the vein of like a Freddy or a Jason.
Well, let's get there in just a second.
Okay.
First, I want to say that I know a lot of things based on just like what Ryan Murphy has said and what, you know, the cast themselves have said in interviews and
yeah,
things like that. So at the end, so in case anyone's
adverse
to light spoilers, can we talk about some of that stuff?
You're going to do some Ryan Murphy in the press, which Ryan Murphy, if you don't know, is his own worst notorious leaker.
I don't know much. What I do know is that Ryan Murphy loves spoiling his own shit.
Ryan Murphy staggered out of the premiere last night and had a bullhorn and said, would anyone like to know what happens in the next four episodes?
Right. Well, even worse, this morning, Ryan Murphy, Game of Thrones style, posted a plot by plot, point by point. detailed outline of what's going to happen this season.
And then tried to blame...
Included, like, some stills he got from Snapchat.
Then he tried to blame FX Spain, and right, FX Spain wasn't having it.
Right.
I'm cool with that. I'm always cool with that.
Okay.
A lot of other people are going to want it, because, you know, this is something I'm hounded on. Did I watch season 1 and 2? No, I didn't. Still haven't seen the alleged best episodes of American Horror Story. And I'm not saying
we'll get
alleged
to it eventually.
Yeah, I'll get to it eventually. I decided to catch up on all of Twin Peaks instead. So can't hate me for that. or maybe you can. I don't know. What else do we want to say before? I will say that I guess we should talk about our general and hopefully genuine opinions of this particular episode.
I thought it was good. I feel like Ryan Murphy is poking fun of himself and the
uber liberal types is pretty
the
liberalist
of liberals.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think that,
but I think you said that
none
of
the our heroes so far are heroes so much as characters we sort of cringe at. But we'll get into it.
Well, and I don't know what he's doing with that. I don't know whether he's trying to go for a pox on all houses or everything's equally bad because it's interesting. He seems like he is going for the worst liberal stereotypes. But then the conservative on the show, and there's only been one, well, no, I'm sorry, Chaz Bono. Bono also played a one-armed conservative who seemed like an all right guy, honestly.
Right.
Everyone's
a caricature.
Like Kai, the Trump supporter is like essentially Heath Ledger's The Joker.
Right.
Like that speech he rolls in and gives in the community center is like a late Act 3 Nolan era Joker speech.
Right.
So like, I have a hard time complaining about just how over the top and crazy the liberal portrayals are when the conservative voice is a literal insane like supervillain.
Well, what were your thoughts on the episode?
I battled the first 30 minutes being disappointed that this wasn't going to be like any kind of recognizable cult. Like there's no snake handling. There's no blood transfusion denying. There's no crazy. And I settled in and I'm like, some of this stuff was just, I feel like that maybe Murphy kept like this notepad throughout the election process. And every time he heard a crazy story from one of his liberal friends, he wrote it in his diary.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to have Sarah Paulson be all these crazy things because I'll be damned if you didn't check off every single box. There
right.
was like every faction of liberal reaction to Trump's election, the petty infighting, the blaming for the Jill Stein, the blaming for the Bernie bro, the blaming for Hillary. Like everything came out to play. And then it got amped up to like 11, when she was in the therapist office talking, I thought there was some particularly hilarious stuff going on. But I wonder what his thesis is going to be because he is playing with fire. We are in a very divided time, and you know we're looking for reasons to be hateful to each other. And I wonder if he's going to have something to say that elevates. Because you know that's the thing, like. I have avoided talking about politics for like 7 or 8 months, mostly successfully on Bald Move podcasts, because I keep coming back to like, well, what am I going to say that's going to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless I can come up with a way that's going to be like kind of interesting or persuasive or, you know, appeal to not just preach to the choir, then why am I saying anything? And then I see Ryan Murphy essentially dive naked and on fire into this pool of gasoline.
Right.
And not even like, you know, not.
I mean, I don't think it was that. I don't think it's as polarizing as you think it is.
Oh, I mean, I don't. We haven't seen what he's trying to say about the season yet.
Right. You just accused him of diving into a pool
I'm
of
saying
fire covered
that's
in gasoline.
What it feels like I'm watching when there doesn't seem like there's much circumspect or like the. Okay, the only reason I guess it wouldn't be more polarizing is because I don't know a single conservative who would watch American Horror Story. I mean, I know they exist because I think I've said that a year before and I get a couple of sheepish like hands in the back being like, but like the message from AHS is so relentlessly uber liberal as far as, you know, everything.
I mean, that's the thing about satire. I think it appeals to both sides. It appeals to the person being made fun of and the people that you're covertly making fun of. Did I say that right?
No, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you made it through all of season one of Revisionist History, but that was one of Malcolm Gladwell did a piece on satire, and that was kind of his point, that everyone thinks it's like this really, you know, like speaking truth to power, but in reality, it makes one side laugh at their misfortune, and, you know, kind of in a Dilbert way, encourages, like, hey, it's okay, it's not that bad. And the side that is supposed to be skewering kind of enjoys the caricature of themselves.
Do you think that when Ryan Murphy wrote and shot this, he would think that at this point in time when it's being aired, that would all have blown over? That it wouldn't have continued to escalate?
I think he wrote this 3 weeks ago and shot it.
Would have been just a really funny joke for us to remember what it used to be like.
No
almost
way.
A year ago.
No way. I think...
Because that's
the other thing AHS usually does is, like, I think they're still writing and shooting. Like, they have every other season I've covered this. So I feel like that... And I was making a joke, but, like, I doubt that Murphy wrote this more than 2 months ago. Wrote and shot this more than 2 months ago. That's what I would think.
Okay.
Is that true? Like, I don't know. Like, do you have any insights? Is that one of the things he was shouting from the megaphones? I actually had this. I pinned this in a fever dream on November 9th. And it's a message in a bottle I sent to the future. Should we start talking about the episode in detail?
I think we should.
Okay.
That'd be best.
Of course, this is for 701 election night, which I probably have neglected to mention. I'm a little rusty at leading a podcast like this. Election 2016 real life footage of dueling Hillary and Trump throughout the campaign and rallies, and then the night of the election, and the subtitle says it's November 8th in 2016, and Sarah Paulson and Evan Peters are having very different nights. Evan Peters' Kai character is delighted that Trump has won and says "fuck you world" and humps the TV screaming USA. Sarah Paulson as Allie is sobbing in a ball and calling for her Wooby, and her lover Ivy is telling her to try her cookie breathing, which I found out is how you explain to a child how to, like, you know, do calm, centered Zen breathing.
What does it mean?
Like, imagine you have a warm cookie in your hands and it smells so good. You want to smell like a deep several seconds through your nose, but it's too hot. You can't eat it. So you got to blow on it to cool it down, and you keep doing that until that cookie gets warm enough for you to, or cool enough for you to eat. And that's what you tell a child to, like, breathe through a panic attack. And it's she's choosing to say to a 40-some-year-old woman. It's like,
who is acting petulant like a child?
It's 5 minutes in, and I already can't fucking stand this woman.
They've got me up to here. I'm a race car in the red.
I am. And the patriarch of the home is screaming about Jill Stein stealing the election and yelling at his wife for being on Etsy all day instead of voting, which I thought is funny.
Wait.
Because we later find out that he's a city councilman.
They're in Allie and Ivy's house.
Oh, I thought they were over at the neighbor's house.
No.
Well, it's still the neighbor's.
Yeah, well, you call him the patriarch of the house, so I just couldn't let that slide.
Okay. Really? Because I thought he said, tell your these friends on our couch that they're not going to be able to be married anymore because you elected, you're too busy on it. Anyway, I got it wrong.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I just think it's bizarre they would bring their nanny and their son over.
Oh, well, but, you know, do they really want to be busy with Oz the whole time? That they kind of feel like...
Could they leave him at home across the street?
Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, Kai is fucking covering himself in blended Cheetos, doing bad Trump impersonations, and then showing up to, gross, I think is his sister's bedroom.
I assume it's his sister.
Played by Billie Lourd, where we find out that she volunteered for Hillary's campaign, left Vassar, notorious liberal arts college, Vassar, every conservative's punching bag and joke. And she's disillusioned because she might not be able to get an abortion. And the friend's like, oh, don't resort to self-harm. And it's, again, all these just crazy, like, literally everyone in the show is either a snowflake or a murderous psycho clown.
Or, to be fair,
yes,
CNN did not give her a trigger warning.
She did not get a trigger warning. No,
what's your read on this character? Just based on this scene, it made me reevaluate how I see her towards the end.
She seems wildly implausible as a character to be this dyed in the wool, radical liberal, and then does a pinky promise trust exercise with a crazy person and then becomes his acolyte.
Right.
Seems pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But
explaining to do, Murphy.
But we'll see. And she tells her brother that I'm so scared, and he says everyone is, which is going to be a big theme this season, it seems like. Two things about the credit sequence. Glad it's back.
And?
not super happy about the prominent placement of what seems to be a murdered family pet, doggy.
I missed it.
A good boy who is being killed by some gas mask wearing clown. I'm not looking forward to pets in jeopardy, man.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the bald... Like, that's the one thing the Breen's got, all bald movers in Unity. If a dire wolf gets killed or a puppy gets killed, it's a bad scene around here.
Just bald movers?
I mean, just to the extent that we are a slice of
just
civilization.
Just the bald movement?
Just, no, I think it's universal, but, like, I'm saying that we are... What am I saying?
I don't know. Nobody likes to see puppies get killed.
No, no. And you don't have to email me if you're the one person who likes seeing puppies killed. Like, I could
keep that to yourself. You just enjoy that privately.
I could get... I'm hoping to get through this week without being triggered that way. I don't want to know that you walk among us. Anyway, we come back from the credit sequence, and we have a twisty redux. This is the millennial version of the last time we saw Twisty Butcher, like a 50s era couple.
Yeah,
you know, very Mad Men style, but they still
in,
got the
Freak Show.
Yeah, and Freak Show, and this has got the same picnic cloth, but now now we got the girl, she's all tatted up, and the guy's all super cool, and you know, kind of, is he kind of hipster? Is he more? I want to say he's more of like a greaser style, like he's straight 50s, and she's just modern for some reason, modern pinup. Anyway, long story short, Twisty ain't having it. He cannot be killed by a handgun because this guy empties like half a clip into him and nothing. Twisty beats him to death and then stabs him to death with his shears for his trouble. A woman retreats to Twisty's old abandoned but still intact school bus where she dials 911 on speakerphone. Twisty's smart enough to not fall for that. And he drags her out of the rear exit and stabs her to death.
Cuts off her tongue,
and you know it's her tongue because it's got the hot pink tongue piercing on it.
Uh-huh.
And then he tells the 911 operator, "Wrong number." And I say that I'm not making fun of his disability. He just
doesn't have a lower jaw.
He doesn't have a lower jaw, and that's what it sounds like. And yeah, there you go. And now here's what I want to talk. Is Twisty really scary, or is he just kind of cool? And
Twisty's scary.
I don't know if he's scary.
I think what makes him scary is that he's wearing someone else's scalp and is missing half of his jaw, and it's just covered in blood. And
also, like, I don't understand why he's still killing people. Like, I felt like his arc at the end of
this is a comic book come to life.
Oh, so this isn't really Twisty.
This isn't really
think?
Happening. This is just a comic book story that kid was reading.
But Twist. Oh. So you don't think we've actually seen Twisty yet?
No.
Is Twisty going to be a part of this series?
Maybe. Maybe he'll be sort of idolatry for Kai's cult.
Or maybe he'll punish Kai and his cult for
maybe
staining the good name of clowns everywhere.
I just don't think. I think he's just a myth in this universe.
Okay.
A story.
Okay. That makes sense. Turns out Allie's son, Oz, is staying up late reading this graphic comic novel. And she confronts him about it and finds out there's a clown on the cover and instantly loses her complete shit. like there's a clown shaped flashbang that was thrown in the room. Literally, you can hear the woo.
Yeah.
And she's just shrieking hysterically. I can't take this person. Ivy is a goddamn saint for putting up with even a month of this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
Anyway,
and for someone who just steadfastly refuses to accept help.
Yeah, that's the problem, because I don't blame people for having, you know, mental or emotional disorders. And, you know, like, it's very hard to get help and it's a lot of hard work. And, you know, sometimes you have to take medicine. But there's a person who seems like they should be open to the idea, and they've got a very understanding partner and seems like a decent therapist, and they're just refusing to.
Especially if you have, like, not one or two, but like five debilitating phobias.
And that's it. It's like you can't function in life.
Exactly. You crash your car into light poles.
Right. So anyway, Kai, meanwhile, is protesting the increased police protection of a Jewish center because they're afraid that it's going to get firebombed by people that are hateful assholes. And he steps in and gives, again, one of these Nolan-era Joker speeches about how everyone really loves fear and how he just wants to create chaos and we should give into it and rule these fearful people like pirate kings of old. And Tom, the neighbor who was bitching about Jill Stein earlier, said, listen here, young man, I know you're just one of them 4chan guys, and get the fuck out of here. You're just a blip on our radar. And then Kai says, nothing's more dangerous in this world than a humiliated man. Really, Kai? Nothing? Not a rabid polar bear is not more dangerous than a humiliated man?
Nothing. There is nothing more dangerous.
Like, what if the man has no arms or nor legs?
You know what? I don't think what? Liam Neeson's was a humiliated man, but he's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
I would say he's humiliated. He's more fearful. Like, that's what you're playing with, Kai. You're playing with Liam Neeson from Taken here. any comments on this scene?
No. I guess sets up his state of mind.
It sets up the he looks like he might be trying to do some kind of political run.
I mean, it's called cult, so I assume that he's going to form some sort of or join some sort of cult.
Yeah.
So that just, yeah.
Anyway, Allie's at her therapist, losing her shit about everything. Her therapist concludes that she needs medicine because, duh, he can't prescribe her more Barack Obama. That's her character's backstory. She was a fucking train wreck. Barack Obama was elected president and healed her mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Right.
Long enough for her to catch Ivy and enthrall her in her web, and 8 years later, she's back to losing her shit.
Right.
Like, that...
Which all started after 9/11.
Do you think he's going with some kind of, like, slight juxtaposition of, like, this Kai cult with, like, Barack Obama being a cult of personality? Because the way Allie describes it, that's what it seems like, but...
That's not what I got.
Oh, what'd you get? Just that she's crazy?
I wouldn't call her crazy so much as just unable to handle the world around her soberly.
Okay. All right.
You want to talk about the coral and the tiny holes?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Reddit, they love to... I feel like Reddit's favorite thing to do is to discount real people's trauma and post-traumatic stress and then fetishize over their perceived trauma for stupid shit like... tassilophobia, the fear of underwater things, and trypophobia. Like, they're like super fucking serious about, they're so scared of it, they create entire communities where they share pictures and trigger each other.
Yeah,
because they're so fucking like, that's what that's what being traumatized really is when you just can't stand it so much you get on a message board and you deliberately trigger yourself. It's fucking ridiculous, but it's funny that Ryan Murphy's throwing that into the crazy alley stew.
Right, man.
Also, CrossFit. Another known insanity of people. They're throwing that into the stew. Like,
yeah, what was the point of that? To specifically call out the exercise that he was doing?
I think that's there's a lot of this is...
Just
this is
throwing
more,
in as many buzzwords as we can.
This is more grist for the elite liberal media mill that he's grinding and turning into this Allie character here. Do we want anything else or do we want to move on?
We can move on.
So she goes to the local market and there's a checkout guy there and she tries to bond with her shared hatred of Trump. And turns out he's a super big MAGA guy and thinks the president is A-okay and he's missing an arm.
You think Chaz Bonham's going to come back?
I can't imagine him not.
Okay.
Like, that
run
would
down
be,
the scene and I'll tell you my opinion.
That would be so weird to have him... I can't think of another character like that. The closest I can come was Bill Cosby's son on Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
I forget that character, that actor's name. But him being showing up in like one scene of American Horror Story, I think it was Freak Show, and then not showing up until like
it just seemed...
8 episodes later. Like, even he got a callback. So Chaz Bono, I think so. Cher's all about it. You see how proud she was in the press today?
No.
Yeah, there's a bunch of articles about her, like, you know, tweeting shit.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Being a supportive mom.
I just thought that it was awfully specific to give him, or take away one of his hands if they're not going to do something with that character later.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought was I wonder if he's a veteran. Because, like, every time, and I think it's that's stupid because, like, but every single time I see a person with a prosthetic limb, my first thing is, I wonder if they're a veteran.
Right.
But it's probably, you know, it could be industrial accident, probably diabetes, or all kinds of things that can cause you to lose a limb other than warfare.
I prefer my veterans to come back with all their limbs.
Do you? Is that your preference? You know what? It's my preference, too. Unfortunately, life says otherwise sometimes. So, yeah, as she recovers from this near run-in with a MAGA guy, the creepy clowns start stalking her, and they are fucking each other in a cantaloupe department, and they're chasing her with hoverboards and cleavers and some shit.
She's wasting perfectly good bottles of rosé.
She's chucking bottles of rosé at him.
I mean, just the rosé and the guacamole on the shelves around them. I mean, it was so carefully planned, everything you see.
And she flees the place, and she finally makes it to her car, which of fucking course is a Prius. And she calls Ivy, and she's like, oh my god, they're trying to kill me. And and Ivy was so calm, I wonder how many times she's fielded a phone call like this. And then we get jump scared by a creepy clown in her backseat.
Yeah, that was the creepiest. Creep of the week.
Yep. And they fade to black, because we're going to commercial.
Okay, so this scene... Mm-hmm. Do you think it really happened?
Yeah.
I think yes. I think the cashier is in on it.
That seems like a popular theory, because a lot of people are saying Allie's into it too, because... But I don't know why. I guess the key thing is, when did Kai take an interest in these two lesbian ladies' lives? Because I don't see any evidence that Ivy was part of this deal to be in, and why would she work with Kai? Like, that's such a fucking long-term con. Okay,
yeah,
but a lot of people are.
I'm not saying that at all.
So, but I feel like this is too early in the episode for, because they haven't put in the nanny ad, and why in the hell?
Well, here's the thing. This same group of clowns with the same masks shows up later to kill Councilman Tom Chang and his wife.
Right.
And... I mean, it's the same group that shows up. So I feel like they have a bone to pick with that guy. I don't know, maybe Winter gave them an in to the Allie and Ivy.
Like, I understand Chang is on his radar because he humiliated him at the community service meeting or whatever, the city council meeting. Why would Allie be on their radar right now?
Like, I don't know.
I
think that's something we'll figure out later, but he didn't just run into them on the street and pour coffee on them on accident, I don't think.
Agreed.
But again, that's later.
Agreed. Again, that is later. I don't know. I haven't got it all figured out yet, but those are all good questions. The police, we come back from commercial to find out, think Allie is crazy. I'm in total agreement with that assessment. Ivy looks like she's getting toward the end of her rope and extremely frustrated with her partner's rantings and ravings. They go visit Ivy's restaurant. It's called Butchery on Main. Mm. Butchery, eh?
Yes.
Restaurant called Butchery. Wonder if there's going to be any butchering later on this season. You think, Cecily?
Perhaps.
Just check off Butchery. Apparently they got this deal where Ivy does all the chef work and Allie is the face.
The front of house.
And she does the financial management, and looks like she does the books, where she's real far behind on. Ivy reminds her that she's been letting her down on her business obligations, including her lady business obligations. And she just wants her partner back. And Allie promises to try harder and get back to work, because she hasn't been to work since apparently the election was lost. Also, they need a new nanny, because her old nanny was either deported or killed by Kai. They haven't revealed which, because she was some kind of Latina. They also get in a screaming match over Allie's support of Jill Stein. And then Kai asked them to enjoy a latte. Thoughts?
I don't know. That was a dick move.
See, that's the thing. Like, that felt like an organic, like, he's just hearing these two ladies scream at each other about liberal shit, and he throws a coffee on them because he can.
Right.
And there's nothing they can do about it.
Right. Which makes you want to throw more coffee on people.
Yeah, I mean, you would be able to get away with it.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it seems like a really shitty move for her to vote for Jill Stein.
In a battleground state like Michigan?
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, this is
what. So, I mean, I'm just saying that you can see that she's got some serious resentment about that in particular.
I mean, I've got some resentment,
like,
honestly.
Got all
like,
the anxiety and phobias, but she's.
The fact that twice in my lifetime I've seen an election swing because liberals fail to understand how the two-party system works is staggering and shocking to me. But again, I've seen it, and it's frustrating. I've seen it twice in my lifetime, and I hope people either get serious about changing our two-party system or make peace with the idea of voting for the lesser of two perceived evils, because I just don't see how we're ever going to get in a situation of every 16 years we fucking forget and decide to, this is the year we're just going to rigidly hold to our principles and pretend like both parties are the same, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I hesitate to be put on it's Team Ivy. Yeah, I'm totally on Team Ivy.
Yeah.
I have no problem with being on Team Ivy. She seems like she's got her shit together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it's another thing I can throw a rock at Allie for, then good on me. Team Ivy all the way. Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
All right. Allie and Ivy put a nanny ad that's answered by Kai's sister wife, I think, Winter, going by Winnie. And, of course, with her Vassar experience and just a little bit skewed version of the truth, she skates by the nanny interview giving perfect answers. And this is juxtaposed with Kai doing some kind of weird Scientology pinky audit where he makes her confess to her biggest humiliation is a love letter to Paula Abdul circulated around. Me too, Winnie. Me too. She was forever my girl.
Uh-huh.
That her greatest pain and pleasure in life was when she let Scotty Mickles do anal.
I think the way that they cut the scene was really well done.
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly interesting and subversive. So that was cool. Also, There Will Be Poop is Paul Thomas Anderson's upcoming movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kai is the scariest thing in the world, according to Winnie.
So they hire her immediately. She starts immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No background checks, anything.
Well, she's from Vassar, and she volunteered for Hillary's campaign. How could she possibly be bad?
You're gonna check any of those references?
I mean, people don't. This is conning 101.
Right.
You know, if you can be inside and speak to people's fears and flatter their egos, you can pretty much do anything. And it's been proven again and again. Lately, by just most latest by Murphy. Zach Murphy is his
Zach
name.
Murphy.
Making American Horror Stories his game.
Ryan?
I know.
Okay.
I know. I just drew a small mental blank and decided to roll with it. Okay. Yeah, like, what if Zack Snyder and Ryan Murphy fused their DNA into one director? Would that be awesome or the worst?
That'd be the worst.
It might be awesome.
It might be.
Anyway, imagine, like, the Man of Steel, the musical. Right?
No.
Right? No.
Okay. No.
A truckload of pre-dawn...
American Crime Story, Watchmen.
Who watches the OJs? A truckload of pre-dawn Latinos await work outside a home improvement store in Michigan.
Pre-dawn Latinos.
That's what they are.
Okay.
Either that or they're late night Latinos, but why would anyone queue up for work that? I mean, pre-dawn is sufficient, and I think everyone knows that.
Okay.
No one's showing up to the Home Depot to pick up a truckload of undocumented people to do whatever at 11 o'clock at night. No, they show up at like 6, 7 in the morning.
I don't know. That's where I get my...
Contractor's hours.
Yeah.
Your hired help?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. You know what happens to them? A drunk guy shows up, drunkenly sings La Cucaracha, and then tosses a condom that he freshly filled with piss at them and hurls a bunch of racist invective. And do you know what these guys do? They beat the remaining piss out of him.
Right.
And do you know what Kai does or what he did in advance? He set this whole thing up so he can film it and frame him in some kind of racist diatribe, I'm sure.
Absolutely. He's going to be the Richard Spencer victim.
Right.
Like, who got punched on camera.
Yep. And he's going to be like, this is awful. And I tried to tell our city councilman, but he's not around to hear anymore because the same fucking violent gang of Latinos probably killed him too. I can see it happening already.
Right.
But yeah, that's pretty bad. I hope maybe Home Depot or slash Lowe's or whatever home improvement store. Maybe they have video of this whole thing on the this parking lot.
Probably not.
I mean, they got the cameras. Why wouldn't you film 24/7?
What? They looked like they were in some sort of alley or parking lot.
Oh, no. It was like the establishing shot showed that they're pulling into some kind of home improvement or lumber yard or whatever. All right. Let's move on. Ivy serves Allie some menu ideas that she's had at night in the store as a concept, kind of in the butchery as a concept, and tries to turn it romantic. Then Allie opens the dish, finds out that there's a bloody crumpet there. Clowns start fucking
blood. Oh, this is creepy.
Clowns start fucking at the table next to her. All kinds of weird clown scary shit appears to be all in her head. Ivy comes in and confronts her and asks her if she's been taking her medicine, and Allie says no, and she says she thinks she's losing her mind because she's not taking her medicine. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, and this is another one of these intercut scenes, Winnie tries to properly fuck up their son Oz with a bunch of seditious talk about who's their real mommy, and he decides to show her this crazy ass drawing of Twisty he's doing. She then escalates by trying to show him some kind of live leak shit where people are getting killed on camera on the internet, and explains it's like a vaccine for your brain. Then an ice cream truck of scary clowns unloads across at the neighbor's house. Let's pause right here.
Okay.
It's like, I find Oz a bit, you know, annoying because he's got really annoying parents, but he's a sweet kid.
Okay.
And he simultaneously doesn't deserve any of this. But also, what's up with the weird graphic clown novel situation? And also, I have a hard time connecting with him because he doesn't act like a child who... He acts like a child who's been forced to try broccoli. He does not act like this pure, sheltered child who's being shown the worst depravity that the humans can show on the internet. And that's kind of been a problem with all the way these children perform on American Horror Story, is they never really act like anything but precocious kids being a bit bummed out by things.
I don't know. I think that kids handle trauma in a variety of different ways. And I think if you're a kid like Oz, probably doesn't have the coping mechanisms, but is being told by a trusted adult that this is a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't sell me on him being scared of this or not liking it.
I don't think he's supposed to.
Really? You think that the subtext is that he's actually enjoying this?
Or no, I don't think that he's supposed to be scared by it. I just don't think he's supposed to be comfortable, and that's what I got from it.
Huh. How old do you think he's supposed to be? I was getting like an 8 or 9 vibe from him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I still think that's like a universal reaction to kids being shown murder, death is to freak the fuck. Like, Ollie should be acting like Oz, and Oz should be acting like Allie with these stimulus. Maybe right. That's the thing, he's overcompensating because his mom just can't get her shit together.
Desensitized, so he hates watching her.
And he has to be the little man, so yeah.
He's been reading lots of graphic novels, so.
All right, you talked me into it.
What's another video when your brain can rationalize it into being, you know, just another comic or not real?
It's just
or...
a bare breast or erect penis. A knife is kind of like an erect penis, right?
I'll get over it.
Did you think, I got this distinct impression when I was watching this, that we were actually watching some kind of Twisty style killing, because it's very close up and it's someone stabbing someone in the neck, but I thought they looked like shears, and I'm wondering if that wasn't either footage from the Freak Show season or footage we're going to see later on of Twisty killing somebody, or am I overthinking this?
I think you're overthinking it. I don't think it was Twisty, because again, I don't think he was real. I think it was just that comic book vignette that they showed live action.
Right.
Twisty the Clown wasn't ever supernatural. In the 50s, he was a real person who...
Yeah. He's supernatural,
went around and killed people.
Now that Two-Face McGee took his soul down to Freak Show Hell. You remember that? Like, what was that guy's name?
Oh, right. Edward Murdoch.
Yeah, there you go. Morlock.
Mordred. I mean, yeah, he's a spirit now, but I don't think he's out there really killing people and being videographed doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, just sometimes Murphy plays with that stuff.
He's definitely some sort of guiding force for this clown murder group.
Right. Because remember last year in American Horror Story where they were, they looked like there was a, like a clip of O.J. Simpson chase on the television. Oh, yeah. They're watching in-universe. It's like he sometimes likes to do playful stuff like that. But anyway, let's move on. Allie and Ivy are driving home from their disappointing or terrifying encounter at the butchery. And Allie's complaining she doesn't want to take mind-altering drugs. And Ivy throws in her 2 rosé a day wine habit in her face. And oh shit, they get home and cops are everywhere. It's a murder scene. And you'll never guess how Allie handles it.
Does she freak the fuck out?
Coolness and a plum. No, she freaks the fuck out. So they find Oz and Winter, and he says that there were clowns, and they butchered the neighbors, and Winter drug him over to the murder house against his will, and Winter says, nah-uh, and throws this crazy, twisty graphic novel comic book in their face to prove where he's getting these crazy ideas. By the way, the neighbors, if we haven't said, are Tom Chang and his wife, who were the city councilman that we talked about Kai being humiliated by earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The police say they think it's a murder-suicide. Nothing. But what they didn't say is the weapon was clown. I don't know how... And this it feels kind of bullshitty that, like, I can't trust what I'm seeing. This is a little bit kind of like Roanoke last year where they did this stuff where...
I mean, I think that's the thing, is I think that's the point. I think this season, the scariest part isn't clowns or bees or tiny holes or dark spaces. I think it's fear itself or your anxieties or not knowing what's really real.
Do you think that...
Which is terrifying to me, not knowing your own mind anymore.
But there has to be, I feel like at this point, there has to be a supernatural element to it to fully explain what we're seeing here.
Unless, here's the thing, is that Ryan Murphy said that this season wasn't going to have any supernatural at all.
Okay, so the other thing is, there's this concept called a folie à deux, like a madness that two people share.
Folie à deux?
And I wonder if that's supposed to be her and her son, how we're locked into this weird clown cycle. I mean, did he inherit the clown phobia?
I mean, I certainly hope that's the case, but it's way too early to tell.
That's my favorite fantasy series, the crazy clown cycle. Tong-tong. All right. Later that night in bed, Allie hears a spooky noise. Tries to wake Ivy, turns over in bed, and discovers that she's sleeping with a hideous clown. Who hasn't been there? Turn over, and there's a hideous clown where you thought a lover was going to be. And that's the episode. That's the episode.
That's it?
Yep.
That's all we got?
Yep. Just burn right through there. I would say that the first half of this episode, I felt like it was losing me, but the second half kind of roped me back in. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because some of these things, like I thought that the supermarket scene in particular was pretty well done, effective horror. It almost Kubrickian in the way that the colors were used, the music and the camera angles. And
right, he's definitely going for a theme here.
Uh-huh.
Something very muted.
There's a little Stephen King thrown in there too, because like this Michigan's is it feels very deserted and like, you know, rust belty and coastal Maine-y kind of thing too.
What? You just described a bunch of different places.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to say why
Kubrickian
I thought it felt,
about it.
I said Kingian about the scenery, the cold.
Yeah, like, he likes his Maine imagery.
Yeah. The other thing that it took me a while to realize is this episode takes place over 6 months of time.
Maybe. I don't know. Why?
I mean, the supermarket scene happens with there's snow on the ground.
Yeah, and the election was in November, so I thought it was like 4 weeks.
I just felt like it would take a while for your nanny to be deported and or murdered. And for
it can happen instantly.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
In Trump's maybe America, she just boned out.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
She's like fuck it, I'm going to Canada.
Yeah, I've been pocketing every dime I made from you fuckers. I'm out of here.
Yeah,
I got more money in my account than you do now. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm a little disappointed that we're not getting a conventional cult story, but I am intrigued to see where they're going to go. It is weird they're putting the cult front and center.
What do you mean?
Because, I don't know, it seems like it'd be AHS America or American Horror Story America or AHS Clowns or AHS Civics or something. Like, cult. This seems like it's much more of a subtext than a main text.
Well, we're only one episode in, so you may change your mind about that.
Yeah. Plus, I'm like one of those annoying guys who read the book first. Like, you know, this isn't my cult.
Maybe
this
cult's
is,
like an elaborate.
You should read the book version of the cult before you see the TV version.
What if it's like a long con, and by the end of it, we will be brainwashed into the Ryan Murphy cult?
Aren't we already like 7 seasons in? We're still doing a podcast on it. Like, that's cult behavior.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, if he asked you to set up a cart outside of Sam's Club this Saturday, would you?
No.
If he personally tweeted at you.
No.
And he got you 6,000 followers from Lena Dunham.
Definitely not.
That's a lot of followers.
It's too many followers. Who needs all that?
That would almost double Bald Moo's follower count. No, it would increase it by 50%. Something. I don't know. How many people are following Jim over there now? A bunch.
He's got a bunch of
0.47 Lena Dunham's worth.
Would you do it?
No,
why would I set up a cart outside of Sam's Club?
I'm just asking what something like a cult would do.
Bold Move has almost 11,000 followers.
There you go.
What did we prove?
It proved my point entirely. Okay, we're about to do feedback. Oh, if you'd Jesus. Like to send us feedback, you can always do so at ahs@baldmove.com. You can also go on our forums, forums.baldmove.com, to discuss things with your fellow fans. Let's open up the old mailbag and see what people said. What do you think, Cecily?
Let's dust it off.
Garnett G said, love the episode. My wife is calling Ivy being an ally of the Kai Clown Clan, or at the bare minimum, a Trump apologist. I love the Kai Clown Clan.
Yeah. It's,
what is
it's
Ryan,
pretty on the nose.
What is Ryan Murphy going to do the next time there's a big neo-Nazi meeting and there's someone cosplaying as Kai Anderson at the rally? What do you think he would feel if that happened?
What if Ryan Murphy created like an accidental beacon?
Huh.
Of
bullshit or hope?
Of hope for like alt-right neo-Nazis.
That's what I'm saying. Like I would not surprise if I go there tomorrow on to some of their haunts on, you know, 4chan and Reddit, and they're just fucking loving this.
That's what I'm saying. That's because
these are fucking truth bombs, man. They're dropping on society, right?
That's the danger of satire.
It's you can normalize shit that you don't really want to normalize.
Go on.
Anyway, that's I was agreeing with you.
Oh, I meant go on with the email.
Nathan E says, I can already tell I'm going to enjoy hate watching this season. I feel like Sarah Paulson has already screamed more than Evan Peters did in Kevin. That's not the real test. No one has screamed more in the history of the universe than Evan Peters screamed during Freak Show. That's a yes. fact. He just, for no even real dramatic reason, I think he was paid by the shout, and he found a loophole that he could exploit there.
Right. In this episode, he's trying out some under-the-breath stuff.
Yeah.
He's really throwing some curves.
He's really doing interesting things with mediums such as... Cheeto,
such as
eyeliner,
volume,
piss. Like he's really doing, yeah, he's doing interesting
bad
things.
Hair dye,
all those things. And that was like 90% of his dialogue that season. Her wife is already tired of her bullshit. If you're hate watching a show like me, Ivy's probably your hero. Indeed. I was surprised Allie ended up being a Jill Stein voter, considering her outrage on election night and Rachel Maddow name drop. I was expecting her to be true blue for Hillary. Well, that's the thing, all liberals are hypocrites too. Every
True.
One of them. No Everyone. Exceptions. Certainly not me. While I'm glad that
None
our main...
more so than Jill Stein.
while I'm glad that our... Yeah. While I'm glad that our main character has some political nuance, the third party shaming in this episode felt like a big wink from the showrunners. I was kind of glad Evan Peters spilled coffee on them to end the scene. What? Oh, geez. See, I'm a third party shamer, man. That's the thing. Like, our liberals are a fractious lot that just cannot... gel and come together over anything. Nathan, sorry, I'm part of the problem.
Nope.
What's going on, Billy Lord? Do you know what's going on, Billy Lord? Billy Lord's. Did you tell me that her mom was Princess Leia?
No, I told you her mom is Carrie Fisher.
Okay, who is Princess Leia? Who was Princess Leia?
Who played Princess Leia in a movie? Yes.
Well, she'll always be Princess Leia to me. So I'm
so
not.
So what
seeing,
is going on with Billy?
I don't
Lord,
know Billy Lord. She
besides
I've heard,
missing her mom and grandma.
I've heard that she was well. You know, Ryan Murphy shot this on November 11th, so not that's yet to pass. This her performance is unblemished by the passage of those people.
Okay, are you making fun of me?
I honestly can't tell anymore.
They wrote the series in like April.
They? Carrie Fisher?
No. American Horror Story. I did some fact checking in the background. That's okay. When they wrote it.
Okay. So what is going on with Billie Lourd? In the beginning of the show, she wanted a trigger warning for election results. But after a pinky promise conversation, she jumps into being mischievous babysitter who shows children videos of murder on the deep web. Are we supposed to believe she's so scared of Kai that she's doing whatever he says? I don't know. It seems like bullshit, but that. But you know what?
I don't know.
You gotta watch the rest. That's the thing about Murphy. You gotta watch the rest of the season before it's inevitably proven to be bullshit.
I think on
but
the...
you can't say that in the first episode.
I think on the other end of the spectrum is that she lost, so she's got that the sort of hopeless thing going, and so she's going to give in to the chaos.
Mm.
You know, she already dropped out of Vassar, so...
She's like a Bernie bro.
Why not ruin a family's life?
Sure, why not? Yeah.
I took a year off school to ruin people's lives.
How'd it work out for you?
I never went back to school, and I keep ruining lives.
You turned pro. Finally, is it fair to say some of the clowns are real and some aren't? More than one person has seen the grocery store clowns, but I feel like the clown beating off in a restaurant was like an illusion. More than one person has seen the grocery store clowns. What the hell does that mean? And is more than one person just her potentially also psychotic son? Because no one saw
the department store clowns.
Now, he might be saying the grocery store clowns as... You know,
as the group that's ring led
by the three-faced clown.
Right. I mean, if you open up the pages of that comic book later, are there those exact faces going to be there and just manifesting in this shared psychosis of
the? Do you think we'll get a twisty story of the week, or is that like just a one and done kind of thing?
I don't know. I think he'll show up later.
All right.
Like I said, I think he's going to become like a symbol for this group.
Okay.
This is not informed. This is all my speculation. Hmm. And if it's...
It's just weird how they're trying to make this connection to Jupiter, Florida from Michigan.
If it's an easy connection that everyone else is making, then I'm not taking credit as doing it first.
Okay. All right.
What's the connection between Jupiter and Michigan?
There is none. Twisty the Clown was from Jupiter, Florida.
This is like 60 years ago.
I know.
I'm just saying that I think a real story turned into a legend.
Yes, yes. But I'm saying like the how... I guess what I'm asking is how in the world do people from Michigan know about that? But you're saying that it's because it's been canonized in some kind of graphic novel series.
Right.
All right. We'll see. It's like DuckTales, only with a murderous clown.
Is it?
Jared C. from Kansas. Here we are again, a new season of AHS. I won't lie, Murphy got me on the hype train again. Those promos got me pretty excited and...
Choo-choo!
But only to be disappointed yet again. It wasn't all bad, though, and I still think there's some promise there, but I've been fooled before. Cough, hotel, cough. I like the ideas of using clowns this season with the recent clown hype and it coming out. You know what?
Everyone talks a lot about hotel. But
Hotel had peak Angela Bassett and peak Russell Edgington.
This is true. You think we're going to get Russell Edgington this season?
I hope so.
We'd better.
Because he's like one of my favorite things about the show.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about True Detective, season three.
So you know, he's in a lot of season one.
Russell Edgington reprises roles of Vampire King of Louisiana for True Detective season three. He's the big bad.
No.
Move over Cthulhu, Vampire King of Louisiana.
Were those the two options?
Yep. And he's going to, in the first episode, rip Nick Pizzolatto in half on camera. Okay, let's move on. He's coughing about hotel. Get some Robitussin for that. I like the ideas of using clowns this season with recent clown hype and it coming out. I wouldn't say I have a fear of clowns per se, but using the right way can be kind of freaky. I have a fear of ambiguous French sayings or Latin sayings. Is per se French or Latin?
Per se,
they're all romance
French.
Languages, yeah. So they all got Latin somewhere if you go dig deep enough. There was some suspenseful moments in this episode, and kind of like using the election as a backdrop for the season. I don't know about everyone else, but I found Sarah Paulson's character, Fear of Clowns, more annoying and kind of laughable at times, not scary or suspenseful.
I read this article about all the things that should be normal that creep us out. Like clowns, it should be normal, but they have, you know, their features are just slightly off.
It's the uncanny valley kind of thing.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is.
And a juxtaposition that's supposed to make people happy, so if you find them unsettling at all, it's probably extra unsettling.
Right.
You know, it'd be like a culture that found spiders cuddly. You could see everybody like cuddling up with stuffed animal spiders, and I'd still be like, no. In fact, it would be even more disturbing.
Right.
But I guess my big problem, the question I have is, how are you going to generate any kind of suspense or drama when this is the exhaustive list of people I don't want to see die? Oz, kinda, and Ivy, because there's a real possibility she might literally slap Allie, and I would like to see that.
Ooh, you're right.
So those are the only two people I don't...
Is slapped in Roanoke?
Probably.
By Adina Porter? Why do I feel like that happened? It should have happened if it didn't.
Yeah. You know, I'm just saying, like, those are the only two characters that I kind of sort of don't want to see die. And, like, most times you go into American Horror Story season, I don't know, it's been true. Like, I feel like Murphy's really pushing a bar about making unsympathetic characters that he then later tries to have a last ditch towards sympathy, but he forgot all the heinous shit they did before. So even normally likable people like Angela Bassett's character last year, terrible, terrible. She's a terrible character. It's kind of irredeemable.
Right.
And then later on, he wants me to put her in suspense and make me feel bad about it. I'm like, yeah, but she's kind of a terrible person.
Right. I'm not putting any money on anyone. It's one episode in.
All right. Let's see. Nathan P. says, I've never been this hyped before for a season of American Horror Story ever. I think Ryan Murphy has a genius for choosing this theme because it's bound to get more people talking about the show. And how. I am interested in seeing what how the internet reacts to this show. Like, what do they say on Gamer Gazi? What do they say on the political sites? What are they saying on the crazy 4chan shits about, like, the deep... Like it is about everybody. Will that translate into everyone talking about it, or people kind of collectively roll their eyes and keep on with their life? What do you think?
I don't know if he's capable of making that kind of statement. Do you?
Well, you know, that's my, I said he, I felt like he was diving in nude on fire into a pool of gasoline.
That's true. Okay. So I guess my answer is no.
My theory is that Ivy's actually part of the cult. I'm not buying what she's selling to Sarah Paulson's character at the moment, and it seems too coincidental. She happens to be always absent when the clown cult attacks. I don't get
that. I think everyone is absent when the clown cult attacks because it's in her mind.
But, yeah, I don't – that's the second person that's alluding to Ivy being in on this thing, and I just don't know. Like, when do you think she started to be in on it? Because she's been – with Sarah Paulson's character for many, many years at this point.
Right.
So, like, however old Oz is, that's how long they've been together, minimum, right?
I don't know.
Because they
could have adopted him.
But it kind of implies, I mean, they adopted him when he was a baby because he doesn't remember it.
Right.
So.
She's throwing out options.
I'm just showing that, like, they've been together for enough years that, like, I don't think that she's been this deep cover agent. Now, I could almost see if, like, Kai has got this weird Yellow Pages business where he's advertising desensitization or something that she's trying to go along with, but that seems...
That's the thing.
Seems uncharacteristically cruel for such an ultra-liberal character.
We can't confirm or even really speculate on any of that right now because I think it's also very much in Ryan Murphy's character to... give us flashbacks later or fill us in on the backstory after we've already gotten to the good stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't start a story where a story starts.
True, true.
I mean, maybe Twisty is around and we'll figure out how he's Kai's uncle or something. I don't know. Does that math work out? His grandpa.
Yeah.
Or we'll figure out that Ivy and Kai were working together and that's how they started to target Allie or... whatever, however it's going to work out, I think there's a lot we're not missing.
Related? That's what I
want
to know.
There we go. It's a story we all want.
Evan Peterson. Is Evan Peters' son, there, stuck to landing, related to the dandy in any particular? No, I don't know. I can't stick
Evan
to landing.
Evan Peters has a son?
Well, you're the one that said that, you know, Murphy doesn't start beginning the story.
All right.
I'm just assuming that he will at some point. It's great that the true villain of the season is fear itself. I'll be interested to hear on what you two think about how Murphy presents it all. People have accused Murphy of playing sides, but I feel like it's the extremes of both worlds, at least at the moment. Personally, as a Brit, I'm going to enjoy the hell of the season, although I can understand why Americans might be more personally offended. I'm not offended. No. And I don't, like I said, like if you can accuse Murphy playing sides, it's by playing both sides and essentially saying, oh my, aren't both sides ridiculous in equally crazy offsetting ways, which I don't think he is, because at worst he's playing all the liberals as extremely narcissistic and fucking annoying and too fragile to function in any kind of modern society. But on the other hand, the only conservative guy is a legit psychopath. So is that really playing both sides? I don't. It feels like, you know, making fun of one side and being genuinely afraid of the other. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. That's fair too. I don't think every Republican is a murderous clown psychopath. I've not seen face paint on hardly. No. You know what I mean? Like that's pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We also have a take on the forums. Michelle says, I thought this was a really great episode. It scared the crap out of me. I can't handle clowns. So I was feeling it right along with Sarah Paulson, who, by the way, can we just give the Emmy to now? No. The Emmy.
Screaming is an acting.
I don't know what award
so
show
I
you're referring to.
So I guess that means she'll get an Emmy.
The Emmys was declared international outlaws and criminal state by the UN after they refused to acknowledge anything on The Leftovers this season.
Or so, John Hamm, for as long as they ignored him.
John Hamm got something.
Yeah, he got a pity trophy at the end.
He got a pity in trophy? Is yes. that even true? I don't know if it is true.
Yeah, he won in his last season of Mad Men.
You're right. He did get the pity, but it wasn't for Mad Men. It was for a performance in Saturday Night Live selling John Hamm's John Hamm. That's the ultimate twist of the night. And it was for comedy. That was the ultimate insult.
Not for dramatic acting.
And yes. When he accepted it, the entire Emmy Academy spat on Matthew Weiner.
Yeah.
Just spat on the whole time through the acceptance speech. If you would like to send us feedback, we are open for business, AHS, at baldmove.com. We will be back for the second episode.
Yep, so happy to be here. This is the most fun that we have.
Let's just promise not to, because I
can't promise you, goddamn.
I'm just saying, and my attitude in this, I'm not taking it too seriously. I'm kind of like, I'm on a hair trigger to say fuck you to everybody. Like... Hillary killing, go fuck herself. Bernie can go fuck himself. Trump can go fuck himself. Anybody who wants to tell me to go fuck himself, fine to come. It's like, this is a free, everyone can tell each other to go fuck yourself and we'll just get through it.
Or we can just talk about it together and have fun.
I think telling people to go fuck themselves, GFY, is super fun. Don't you think it's fun?
No.
Well, I don't know if you're going to enjoy this season of American Horror Story. Because it's got a bunch of GFYs all over it.
Does it?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Or GF, maybe it's ground fault indicators. Maybe that's what I get confused sometimes. all right. AHS at baldmove.com. We'll be back next week for another train wreck podcast for a train wreck TV show. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
See ya.